You are listening to WSCA 106.1 on your FM dial, and we are streaming live online at WSCAFM.org. My name is Mark, host of Black Knight Meditations, 4 hours of Black Death, Speed Thrash, Gothic Doom, Shred Power, Prog Folk, and Traditional Metal every Tuesday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can send me an email, bnmradio@live.com, and my podcast page is blackknightmeditations.com. I've been a huge fan of Emperor and Issan since 1995, and I'm very happy to welcome back Issan to the 106 Airwaves. Talk about the new album, Eremita, which is coming out here in the States on June 19th in the U.S. via Candlelight Records. Thanks a lot for calling in, Issan. Are you at home in Norway right now?
I am, thank you. And thanks for that introduction.
What is the weather like there right now?
It's quite nice, actually. It's been a kind of shit spring so far. A lot of rain and been quite cold, but it's getting there. I think everybody's kind of looking forward to nice weather for the National Day, which is on the May 17th, where all the kids get out and get balloons and stuff. So, yeah.
And are you going to be getting some balloons for yourself?
Not for me personally. I probably have some.
Now, nature has obviously played a role in your songwriting in the past, and given the climate in Norway, has your music ever been impacted by the seasons? You know, the temperature, the precipitation, has that ever impacted your music?
I guess in a very indirect way, as probably all, you know, anyone who grows up in a certain environment will kind of use that in there. It becomes part of your image gallery and your kind of atmosphere gallery, if you will. So I guess kind of anyone who works with art in some form, it will be influencing your work. The fact that you come from a special place and how you experience that.
Well, I ask because I don't think we'd have albums like In the Night Side Eclipse or After, if you were, say, from the Bahamas.
So probably not. No, I think that you're obvious that, say, you know, influenced by your surrounding, and it's natural to use elements of something that is familiar to you. Yeah.
So, are you able to be inspired as a songwriter no matter your surroundings? I mean, can you come up with riffs while you're at the pub? Or, I mean, can you hum melodies to yourself while you're cleaning the house? Or even write lyrics while you're at somebody's wedding? I mean, can you do anything anywhere when it comes to songwriting?
Well, I guess it's just that I don't really go much to the pub or weddings for that matter. But I usually do that work in the studio. I have this kind of, which is sort of my creative cave in a sense. But occasionally I can, you know, come up with stuff like humming and come up with ideas, especially when I'm driving. But apart from that, for me, it often starts with some kind of abstract ideas. And I just build on that. But I need a lot of peace and quiet to be able to hear that kind of inner voice. So I'm not the type who can, you know, sit in the park with a lot of people around me and start writing. No.
Well, I mentioned write the lyrics at a wedding thing because on the new album, Eremita, one of my favorite songs is Something Out There. And it has the lyrics, something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. And I first heard that song, I'm thinking, was he at a wedding when he came up with the lyrics to this song?
Yeah, because it's hard to explain, but it's the symbolism of that, you know, that there's some tradition, of course, around that concept. And you know, when a transition into something new, and I guess a lot of this type of music and the themes that I deal with is often about, you know, changing points and transitions. You know, so I guess it comes from that, and my lyrics too. I mean, it's tend to be a mixture of very concrete symbolic things, but parts of it, even in the same, you know, text, can be just imprints of a certain image that has no necessarily no concrete, you know, message. It's just part of the whole atmosphere, and in a similar way that, you know, that music. I mean, if I could explain the meaning of every single note, you know, that would be impossible. It just becomes part of the whole expression.
Well, the song "Something Out There" is definitely a highlight of the Aramid album for me, for sure. I really like the use of the clean vocals on the song and the synth melody.
Thank you.
The synth melody, very, very memorable. So definitely a standout track. The new album, Aramid, it's the first one since the so-called trilogy of the albums Adversary, Angel, and After, which After I still feel is one of the finest albums in many years in any genre of music. I think it's just that perfect, a stunning record.
Thank you.
So I admit I was a little concerned about just how different Aramid would be, because, you know, you'd pointed out that this one's not going to be the same as the last three records, which definitely did have an ongoing theme. So I've heard Aramid several times now. I've been listening to it a lot lately. And while it is different from the previous albums, it truly sounds like a logical progression in your musical journey. You know, it doesn't sound like you're trying to avoid recreating the last few records. It just sounds like the next Isson album. So thank you for creating something not radically different or bizarre. I appreciate that.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, probably a defect, not necessarily a defect, but for better or worse, you could say, that I've been doing this for 20 years now, or at least, you know, professionally, I've been with Candlelight Records now for 20 years. And what is most different for me about the new album is probably my state of mind. Because and the kind of the scenery and the framework for my inspiration is fundamentally different from, say, for example, After. But it so happens that when every time I do another album, I usually tend to start from a very different perspective. That the inspiration for it may be very different, but by the time it's kind of channeled through my, can I say, my creative system, it ends up sounding like me, either way,
right.
For better or worse. And
right.
And definitely, it was not my intention to try and deviate necessarily from the three first albums, as much of the reason for me to do a trilogy first was to keep that in mind when I first started, that I will give myself three albums to build a new musical platform for myself. You know, I kind of started over because I had a break from traditional metal music since we quit Emperor, and then when I started on again, I wanted to in a way start over and establish a new kind of platform for myself as that musically. And where I ended up with After was really, it was a place I wanted to be musically. So I found that very liberating, where I still, you know, I had the foundation of what I've been working most with, which is, you know, extreme metal, but still with enough space to experience and kind of exploring other aspects of music and bringing other influences into my music as well, and with the room for experimentation. And that's something that I really hope to bring into my ongoing work, also with this album. And that's why, with how for example, my collaboration with Jörgen Munkeby on saxophone worked on After, it was so natural for me to bring him in on this album as well.
My favorite song on the new record, Aramida, is Departure. It's a stunning song. It's epic, melodic, very emotional. What is this song about? What inspired you to write Departure?
Well, it's a rather hard question, because it's a long time ago since I actually, you know, the initial spur for it. But musically, you could say that the beginning of it was just these, you know, very tight chords with horns and trombones. That was the musical spur for it. The album starts with the song Arrival, and it ends with Departure. So it's kind of coming to, it's it represents the end of the process, and still after all the processing of since the arrival, if you will, there's still a lot of contrast, and I don't necessarily think it gives any resolution, as the end. And the lyrics go, she spoke to me like hope was real, that peace was something I could feel. But it doesn't really indicate that the protagonist actually feels any peace. But it's more like it's a nice thought.
Well, I absolutely love the song. While I was listening to it for the very first time, I'm thinking this has got to be one of my all-time favorite songs this song's ever been a part of. So it's definitely it's definitely one that sticks with me. Not counting interviews or photo shoots, how much of a role do you play in the promotion of your music? I mean, do you recommend or even choose any of your album's promo singles, like Arrival or Scarab, Frozen Lakes? Do you suggest ideas for photo shoots, like the creepy Aramita shots of you in the woods at night with a shovel? I got to say, if I see you in the woods at night with a shovel, I'm running the other way.
Yeah, no, it kind of fits with the concept, and you probably heard the sounds of this shovel digging throughout the album.
It's when listening to the record and looking at those photos, it definitely creates a vibe. Let's say, and again, I would avoid you at all costs when you're carrying a shovel.
I'll take that as a compliment then, but no, it's that was actually my wife's idea to do night shots. And to bring in the shovel, which is probably it's kind of an ongoing theme throughout the album. That's the sound of the shovel and digging. All that it kind of comes through the album. It's nice, it was natural to bring that along, and also the lamp, because the album is called Eremita, which is of course the Latin for hermit, and the typical lamp. So it's some kind of symbolism there. But it still, plays on this almost like, old-time horror movie cliche type of thing.
It works.
But it's still, yeah. I thought those was, it was fun to do, and it was within my comfort zone of how much. I mean, I do not find it that natural to pull faces and do all the. I don't have as many visual things to play on anymore that I'm comfortable with.
I understand that. Hassan, you always come across as very mild-mannered, a very humble person. Evidence of that in the past is how you regard your past accomplishments. You once stated that for Emperor's Anthems album, you said, quote, "We received a few good reviews on that one," which, of course, is the most profound understatement ever.
But at the time, just for record, I mean, at the time when it was released, we received a few good reviews, whereas major media absolutely slaughtered Anthems.
And of course, I think major media,
if you say I have a kind of a pragmatic relationship to my career and how it's been perceived, is because I've taken so much shit and so much praise for exactly the same album.
Right.
Just more or less based on how much they sold eventually. So, it's never had, I felt that if I were to take in kind of all, everybody else's opinion about my music, of course, I appreciate that if people like my music and connect with it and have an experience with them, with it, that I think that's fantastic, but that people buy my albums and like it, it's kind of a condition for me being able to continue this. But I've learned to evaluate my achievements, in regard to myself and how in regard to if I feel I've succeeded with a song and how how it came out in the end, because I've known so much that how the public will relate to it. It can, you know, they can hate it at first, and maybe they will like it in 10 years. So I just have to keep a distance to that and not that let too much of that get to me.
I
appreciate when people have a strong relationship to my music, but I can't afford to let that, you know, color me in any sense. You know, I have to have my own relationship to my music, and that's kind of how I write my music as well. I don't take in any consideration to how it will be perceived. You know, some people thought that I would, you know, my previous album, that I would use the saxophone just almost like a provocation because it's so uncommon in metal. But for me, it was just that something that I really wanted to do. I didn't really think about if it would be perceived this way or that way. And I think if I've had fans, you know, as I say, have followed me for many years, and if I owe them anything, it's to do my absolute best every time I make an album, you know, in the most uncompromising and authentic and honest way that I can. That's the only way I can you know give back, if you will.
Well, I think it shows in the music, because I never feel like I'm hearing an album from Ihsahn that is pandering to the fans, the critics, or anything like that. I when I hear your records, the only visual I get of you is you in your studio creating your music, which is exactly what you intend to do and want to do. And I wouldn't want it any other way. I wouldn't want you to do another Emperor album or you know, try to recreate past glories or any of that, because that's not what you want to do. And I think fans notice that from bands when they're trying to do something that's not what they want to do, but they're pandering to the fans. I think we pick up on stuff like
thank
that.
Thank you. I've tried to get that point across with so many many journalists that, you know, that I just have to be as uncompromising as we were, you know, at the beginning of Emperor. You know, that's kind of the only way I would like to do it.
Okay, so before I let you go, I'd like to know how can your fans get in touch with you, or at least some way to tell you how much your art has impacted their lives? How do they get in touch with you? How do they let you know?
I wouldn't really know. I must admit that I've heard that there were some criticism because I said in the interview that I don't even know how to log on to my own my own Facebook account. and I've made jokes about that it's hard for me these days, because most of my image, if you will, has been built on, you know, being a crazy Norwegian with, you know, corpse paint and knowing nothing about me. And these days, this promotion is all about kind of being personal and telling about your regular life, and it's not just me. It's not so natural for me to be sharing on Facebook or anything like that. So I'm sorry about that, but it's I guess I meet people. I meet a lot of nice people on the occasion when I go out and play live. You know, and apart from that, you know, I do appreciate people liking my music and having a relationship to that, and in the same way that I, you know, because I'm a music fan myself, I know what that's all about.
Well, again, thank you so much, Ihsahn, for your art. Like I said, I've been a fan since Nightside was released in 95, and I've followed you on your musical journey. I thought After was your crowning achievement. I'm now wondering if Aramita will be your crowning achievement, because I would not say this if I didn't mean it. I am, again, stunned by your new album.
Thank you very much, and thank you so much for the support.
I really love it.
Wait till we hear the next one.
Yeah, you're gonna make me wait 2 more years to hear the next one. Yeah,
I don't know. I have most of the plans ready for that. So.
Oh, great! Awesome. Well, the new record anyway is called Aramita. It's released June 19th here in the U.S. via Candlelight Records, and like the three previous Ihsahn albums, it does get better with each successive listen. So you listen to it once, listen to it 10 more times. I recommend everybody to check this album out for sure. You know how I feel about After. We have it on air quite a bit. We're going to have Aramita on air quite a bit. And again, I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it. It is an amazing record. And you know, you've truly created another incredible work of art. And I am stunned as well. Anthems and Nightside were life-changing albums. And you continue to create albums that are deeply moving. So thank you very much, Ihsahn. Best wishes.
Thank you very much for your kind words.
Yeah, best wishes to you. And hopefully you will perform many live shows in the U.S. this year. Hint, hint. Tour, live shows, U.S. Come on, let's do it.
We'll just have to see what comes up.
All right. All right. Thanks a lot, Ihsahn. Take care.
You do it. Cheers. Right. Bye.
So there is my interview with Ihsahn. My email address, bnmradio@live.com. Email me your thoughts on the interview and my previous interview with Ihsahn. All 45 or 50 minutes of it is posted at blacknightmeditations.com. So go to the podcast page and listen to my interview with Ihsahn. He was promoting the previous record, After, and we spoke at great length about all things Ihsahn related, some Emperor stuff as well. Again, blacknightmeditations.com for the previous Ihsahn interview. Email me your feedback at bnmradio@live.com.